see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move.
Just
there's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn, they got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it and Jesus spoke about it and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it and Jesus spoke about it and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to the Watchmen for Jesus program this afternoon, Bible study. My name is Thomas Gamble. For those joining us, thank you for coming. Tonight want to be, what I said last night, part two. Part two of, is Jesus God? This is now taking on a whole new meaning. If we talked about this a year ago, gosh, 6 months ago, it'd just been another Bible study. Okay. Oh, not now. Now they're hitting it hard the past several months, actually, to prove that Jesus Christ is not God, but a prophet. It's very important that they prove that. Very important now, since for them, they think they're getting closer to the fallen way. I have some people tell me today, Tom, you don't know what you're talking about. I said, why? The falling away was back in, they list sometime back in the 70, 100, I don't know, 70 AD or whatever. I said, what? Falling away is not, we're not even the first seal yet. It's impossible. Well, what's going on is the real falling away of the church means there's no more God in the church, no more Jesus. What does that mean? I started connecting dots. A re-spiritualization of the Roman Catholic Church. And I said, what's that mean? Then I found out that Teilhard de Chardin, Teilhard, T-E-I-L-H-A-R-D, D-E, C-H-A-R-D-I-N, Teilhard de Chardin, was a Jesuit priest, was a father of the New Age movement, Was he had any business being in the New Age movement? Then I found out the mother was Helena Blavatsky. I said, oh. Then I found out the New Age movement goes back before Roman Catholicism was ever created, before the 4th century. Oh, well, that would be why I looked at that. Okay, I got it now. So what are we talking about here? Well, now I know why I saw. Okay, I got it now. The ancient mystery of Babylon, ancient mystery religions, Babylon, Egypt, Greece, all forms of pantheism, Kabbalism, Gnosticism, the Knights Templar, Rosicrucians and the Freemasonry, Illuminati, witchcraft and sorcery and divination and spiritualism, rheumatism, most occult practices, Eastern religions, Hinduism and Buddhism. Notice that Hinduism, Buddhism get no kind of publicity. Notice they're kind of quiet. Why is that? Because they're part of the New Age movement. The re-spiritualization of the Catholic Church. Elvis Presley was a Hindu. Oh, wow. I didn't know Hindus had blue suede shoes. The scarf that he had as a trademark in his second debut in the 70s. When he came back on stage after being gone for a while. Do you notice something else about that scarf? Who else does that scarf thing? Yeah, the Dalai Lama. No, I'm sorry, the Dalai Lama. And Dalai Lama, he ain't no Southern Baptist. Southern Baptist at least gets haircuts. And so, you see, what am I going with tonight? But the Dalai Lama is a Hindu guy, you know, he's Hindu, Buddhist kind of thing going on, you know. Little head bumping, scarf using. That's the religion of the Antichrist is the one in the background that nobody's messing with. So it must destroy every other religion. Now that they've used it to divide us all, to divide us all, you got it? Using religion, race, politics, science, everything to divide us. Now let's get rid of all that and bring us all together. Under a new world order. Jesus is going to do that. But a benevolent new world order. Satan is going to try to do that. Under a malevolent world order. And he will fail. Because God will step on it like a snake's head. But until that time. He's going to use and allow evil. On this planet. For judgment to come upon them. So he's being placated. The evil's being placated to allow it to sift through those who will follow Jesus and those who won't. Evil's being placated. Which comes to mind exactly. Psalms 34:21. Evil shall slay the wicked. And they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. And the Lord redeems the soul of his servants. None of them that trust in him shall be desolate. That pretty much tells you right there, don't it? Family, I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. And I want to get to talking about who the Savior is, best I can. If I got to go to part 3 tomorrow, that's what I'll do. We'll go to part three. It's all one Bible study, but it's very important one. Because we're trying to makeshift religion into a touchy-feely kind of religion, but they got to get rid of all the others now, shed them. Like they're trying to bring the races together, and they've accomplished that. Biologically, it's happened. That means, That means they got to eradicate, get rid of, eliminate all religions save one. Must eradicate, eliminate all pure races except one. Eradicate all currency except one. In fulfillment of the scripture. And then comes their sudden destruction. It's all playing out. They've been allowed to accomplish their goals, thinking they're achieving success, when actually they're sealing their doom. You'd think that Satan, being as smart as he appears to be, and his fallen angels would say, we're about sealing our doom. Think we ought to stop about now? But they're not going to. I've really tried to figure that out, but I can't. How blind they are. Maybe God blinded them. Maybe because they're evil. They're not forgiven. So they've got a reprobate mind and just arrogance. I don't know. Man, that's way over my head. That's God's business, not mine. So I ain't going to worry about it. Our concern is spreading the gospel. Our main task is living it. Lord knows I've failed at that a lot of times. Lord, we thank you tonight for Bible study. Father, that you bring us to the Word, Scriptures, that we can share in this. Lord, and we thank you, Father, you open up our eyes. And Father, show us the light. The light of the Holy Spirit that brings us together. The light of the Holy Spirit that shows us salvation. Lord, we thank you for that conviction that keeps us guided right. We thank you, Father, for the hearing of our prayers. And to give us that wisdom, discernment, to see you work through our lives, that we don't take it for granted. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunities we have to witness to others. We thank you, Lord, for the King James Bible, your holy word. Lord, we pray for this country to open up its eyes, for other watchmen to come out to speak the truth. Father, we see a falling away taking place. We see deception on the rise. We see evil finally increasing. Although we know that that time is near, we see the signs of the times. God, to give us that knowledge ahead of time, Lord, if it be thy will that we see these things coming, that, Father, we can deal with them to use these times for opportunities to witness to others. Lord, we pray for our families, we pray for our friends, we pray for those, Father's ask us to pray for them, that for healings, protection on the long term, Lord, that final time comes, and Father, you bring us home. In the meantime, we have a war going on now. We need those warring angels, Lord, and that wisdom, discernment to get us through these times to come. This, Father, what we pray for. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us today, this day, our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from this evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, when I do my studies, I'm not a theologian. I don't have a degree in theology. And knowing what I know now, I wouldn't go to a college of degrees of that way anyway, because I would never make it. There's no way they'd pass me through there. I know this. No way. They'd then take me off the campus, probably expel me from it, because I wouldn't sit there and listen to their heresies being taught and not say something. There is no way I could do that. When you know that every college and university, man, that's mind-boggling. Every single one of them in the United States, goodness sakes alive, is a school of humanism. And this is confirmed. I'm not going to read you all the quotes because most of y'all know me anyway. And I've read these quotes. You probably memorized them by now. But I just do things over and over sometimes to make a point. But every school is a school of socialism and Marxism. And humanism, we take it for granted that they're not, but they are. Every single one. That's heavy. You might find one little junior college in some 10-buck-2 town that's not. Who knows? They probably forgot about it. But in the thousands upon thousands of major colleges, all of them, teach Marxism, socialism, humanism in a very clever, devious manner since the turn of the century, their last century, or whatever. That's incredible. And they're quoted as such. Wow. It's amazing. So anyway, the point was, was that I use many different commentaries. I vet out my sources. I improvise for my lack of degree. You know, I'm not a minister or anything like that. But I do excruciatingly extensive research because I choose to. It's nothing big deal. It's just what I choose to do. I use many commentaries. I vetted out my sources at using the King James Bible as my number one source. And any commentator that goes outside the King James Bible and starts talking opposite what it says, if he's a commentator, as far as I'm concerned, is an Irish potato. I don't want to fool with him. So I mark him off my list. I got certain ways to do it. Who's part of the Illuminati's religious groups? Well, the World Council of Churches, National Council of Churches, oh, they're bad news. We're talking literally mafia. World Parliament of Religions, New Age Movements, Esotericism, Unity Church, Unitarian Universalist Church, Baha'i, Temple of Understanding, the Vatican, Opus Dei, Roman Catholic Church, Al-Qaeda, Theosophical Society, that's Blavatsky and Asbeli, the Nation of Islam, and Hamas and Hezbollah. They're all under the religious group of the New Lord of the Illuminati. How about that? I got a whole list of stuff, how they've divided in education, intelligence, religion, politics, banking, society, or secret societies. I got a laundry list of ones underneath the categories. All the way up to Satan Lucifer is ahead of the whole thing. I got everything. Flowchart. And what have I done there? Same thing as commentaries. I collected 5, 6, 7 or more flow charts from different authors and different researchers and put them all together out in front and said, okay, what's common among all of them? That's how I do my research. And then when I get an idea, say, well, this is what I believe to be true, I do something else. I go back and try to destroy what I built. So then I try to find holes in it, and I try to prove myself wrong. I scrutinize it, squeeze it like a lemon. Jesus Christ is God incarnated into human flesh. Came to us in the usual way. Came here for one purpose, to die on the cross for our sins, because one person had to die. There had to be a blood atonement. No human being will ever bring themselves back from the dead. No human being will ever ascend. Taken? Yeah. Raptured? Yeah. Ascended? No. Not going to happen. Who is Jesus? Who is this one called Jesus? He's fully God. Jesus participated pretty much in creating the universe. He continues to partake in keeping it on course. He's the exact expression with a form that we can understand of God the Father's moral character and personality brought to us. John 1 verses 1 and 2. Yes. My favorite ones right there. That would get some every time. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Colossians 1, 15 to 20. So if anybody disagrees, see what they can do? I say, man, that's between you and God. Go for it. There's your scriptures. Colossians 1, 15 to 20. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and they're in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Well, that pretty much covers all that, don't it? And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church. It's not the name of any church. The church is where two or more are gathered in his name. It's not Baptist. It's not Methodist. It's not Baha'i. It's not Babai. It's not Roman Catholic. It's not any name of a church. It's where two or more are gathered in his name is the church. He is the head of the body, the church who is the beginning, firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And we'll move, skip over to Hebrews 1, verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, right hand of the Father. Remember, he's made lower than the angels when he came here? Remember that? Talked about that last night. He's made lower than the angels because he was human. But then he died and he arose again and became glorified. This is what it's talking about here. Because now, it's opposite. He said, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. See, now things changed. All the way around. That's significant. Because someone could say, well, see, it's opposite. Here it says he's lower than the angels. Now in Hebrews 1:3 it says he's higher than angels. Which is it? Well, they don't know the significance, the dispensation of him dying on a cross and rising again. You see? Hebrews 1:3 is a very important scripture. And when it talks about here, about him being as God, fully God, he's the outshining of God's glory, as all the perfections that are found in God the Father are found in him also. He's the radiance of all his glory. The moral and spiritual glories of God are seen through him. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is the exact image of God's essential being inside that we can see. A God so great we can't even see the forest. We can see the trees. We can't see the forest of God, but we can through Jesus Christ. And I hope you got that, because I couldn't say that twice again. Remember sometimes I talk about, sometimes you can't see the forest for all the trees. So you climb to the tree, the highest tree. So you then look out over the whole forest and see it, the big picture, instead of little trees below. Well, in this case, it's different. The example is different. You can never see the fullness of God. It's not possible. He has many more dimensions that we as humans, we can't even, there's no way we could even think of it if we were movie directors. We couldn't even imagine in our imagination the supernatural that's out there. There's no way possible. We don't have the dimensional capacity to know the fullness of God. It's not possible. That's why theologians that debate God can't debate him. I mean, can't debate each other. How do you do that? Humans can't debate about God, whether he exists, doesn't exist, whatever. It's impossible. We don't have the full understanding. That's why debate is considered even things not to do, considered the same thing as fornication and murder in the scriptures. That's your homework. Look it up. The word debate, and look where it's connected to. Whoa. I mean, that's kind of surprising, because we're used to debating the Bible, right? We see it all every day. All these theologians and it. Atheists and I don't know what else. They set up this debating thing. It's the silliest thing I've ever seen in my life. One on one side, one on the other. Okay, Mr. Jones, Dr. Jones, you've got 15 minutes to present your case. And then and here we go, all these rules. And they never happens. Nothing ever comes out of it. The ones that were with Dr. Jones, who's an atheist, and the ones with Dr. Bonatz over here that's a Christian or whatever, they all end up saying that maybe one or two might change over, but very seldom. Nothing ever gets accomplished because they don't know. And the one denying it can deny anything. He'd deny, well, I'm not even born, and you don't even know me yet. I'm not even here. You can't see me. I deny my existence. You can deny what you want, anytime you want. Romans 1:29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whispers, among others. Debates mentioned in there as part of those. That's heavy. So, everything consists of Him in your very essence. Is God represented by Jesus. So it sort of means that in every conceivable way, Christ exactly represents the Father. I mean, you can't have a closer representation. The Son, being God, reveals to man by His words and His ways exactly what God is like. So we'll know to the extent that we can. He upholds the universe by the word of His power. He speaks, it moves. Satan can't do that. Satan has to manipulate the principles by using formulas, sacred geometry, calculus, science, manipulation, lies, formulas, periodic table, science. That's how Satan works it, to manipulate the principles that God created. But all God's got to do is speak it, and it happens. But what have they done so far? What have they done so far? Tooth Fairy, Santa Claus. Y'all starting to see it now? Wizard of Oz, Walt Disney. Fictional characters. Cartoons. Little elves. Jesus Christ. Supernatural. It's all glumped together. You see what's happened? It's very clever, isn't it? That's why you're atheists. That's why you're those that's anti-God. And they come back at you at YouTubes and debate and so forth. Whatever you do. Oh, yeah, you believe in this God thing, right? Like Tooth Fairy and Santa Claus? Sure. It's working perfectly. Because when you lie to your children and say there is a Santa Claus, are they supposed to believe you now that there's a Jesus they can't see? Whoa, man, that is hitting it hard on the hammer, on the nail. Now you know why. Because how can a child believe you when you told them there's a Santa Claus? And you got cookie crumbs on your chin, and they saw you eating the cookie and kissing mama under the Christmas tree. You lied to me, is the thought inside. There's no Santa Claus, but there's a God. Am I supposed to believe you now? You see what they've done? So you say to yourself, you say out loud, I've learned that Christmas is pagan. Pagan roots, Christmas is. So a person would say, well, I just don't celebrate Christmas because it's pagan. Oh, bah humbug. You're a Scrooge, aren't you? They got that covered, don't they? Then Easter, they got you bribed with chocolate little bunnies running around, and Easter eggs are just tasty. And little old, cute little old chickies and ducks of different colors, rainbow colors. Interesting. A sunrise service. Worship of the sun god, Ra. Shall we go to Osiris and Nimrod? Boy, man, can you imagine what's happened today? See, we've been tricked. But Jesus is real. He speaks. His powerful word sustains life. Holds matter together. It holds matter together. Y'all getting the impact of this? He holds everything together. He is the glue of this universe, of this planet, of heaven. It's all held together by an almighty, amazingly big God that we see as Jesus come down. So now we can, oh, I understand what he looks like. He maintains the universe in proper order. It's by him all things hold together. Colossians 1:17. Remember Romans 1:29 is where you're not supposed to debate. Takes all the heat off of you, doesn't it? You're commanded not to debate. Say the word, give the word, move on. He is before all things. By him all things consist. Colossians 1:17. Scientists grapple to discover, find out what holds molecules together. I found this concept very interesting. We see God as some gray-haired old man in heaven looking down upon us, right? And that's how we see it? Aren't they painted their portraits of different, I forgot who, I can't pronounce the name of the French, I probably couldn't pronounce it if I saw it in front of me anyway. A French painter that paints God's perspective of Jesus looking down, and then paints Mary's perspective looking up. Two different paintings, I don't know what it is. I saw it today. So we're looking at God looking down, but that's not it at all. God holds everything together. He sees it from a 360 degree 3D image. He sees it from all angles at one time. You're grinding. That's my brain. I probably need to go get some WD-40 because it's starting to grind. See, scientists are grappling, trying to find out what holds these molecules together. They don't know. It's the God particle. Jesus Christ is a great sustainer. He does it by his powerful word. But the next glory of our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the most amazing of all. When he by himself purged our sins, which no human could ever do. The Creator, our Creator, and the Sustainer became the sin bearer. He bore the sins on his shoulders. In order to create the universe, he only had to speak. In order to maintain and guide the universe, he only had to speak because no more problem is involved. But in order to put away the sins that we commit, we're born of sin, once and for all, he had to die on the cross of Calvary. By one man, the world was condemned forever. By one man, the world is saved. And it just blows you away, man, staggering, that you think that the sovereign Lord would stoop to become the sacrificial lamb. Knowing for Adam and Eve to Cain and Abel, you know they were taught the truth. The law was delivered to Abraham, and later, no pun intended, but literally, in stone to Moses. But the law was also delivered to Abraham. And you know the law was delivered to Abel because he was doing the right sacrifice. Isaac Weitz in a hymn said, "Love so amazing, so divine, divides my soul, my life, my all. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." Isaac Watts, him. So, in essence, we have the exaltation as the enthroned Lord. He sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He sat down, which is a posture of rest, of anticipation, but rest. But it's not the rest that follows toil. He doesn't get tired. But it's the rest of being satisfied in a finished work. "It is finished," he said. The work of redemption has been completed. Satan was defeated on that day at Calvary. And you know what the right hand of the majesty is on high? Position of honor and privilege. Hebrews 1:13. And through Mary, King of the Jews, the Son of God, God incarnated human flesh, glorified, went back to the Father, awaiting the day to return. All the way around. Jesus is not an avatar, as Socrates, Plato, Lincoln, Shakespeare, Bismarck, I can name a bunch, Krishna. Avatars are projections of fallen angels. That's where Da Vinci, an avatar, was the human vehicle by which Saint Germain, fallen angel, or as a Moria, I'm not sure which exactly, worked through them because they were occultic. They were, it's kind of a form of possession. Only high-level fallen angels can do this. But Jesus wasn't an avatar. They try to say he's an avatar. Jesus was God incarnate in human flesh. Different. And because of his glorious triumph, God highly exalted him. We try to think of, or human beings try to think of Jesus, God, and Holy Spirit in materialistic means. You can't do that. We try to fit it in our own little dimensional capacity, and it can't be done. The right hand is a position of power. He's my right hand man. The nail scarred hand of the Savior has a scepter of universal dominion. When we as Christians, not affiliated with Christianity, but we as Christians who follow Jesus, Christianity is following your religion. Christianity is following the four walls. Christianity is following this pastor, preacher, pope, rabbi, bishop, Timbuktu, I don't know, self-appointed apostle, whatever. It's following something man-made. But being a Christian is not about Christianity at all. Being a Christian is following Jesus. Done. That's it. People fight for their religion. They fight for their dogma, their doctrine. Where's Jesus in all this? Well, they get darn right mad, too. Christ is superior to the angels after his resurrection. And by his inheritance obtain a more excellent name than they, of the first acquired superiority, then of the inherent superiority, which resulted from his resurrection, ascension, and exaltation as Lord in Christ. That is the difference. In incarnation, He is made a little lower than the angels. This was for the suffering and death in 2:9. But then what? God exalted him, enthroned him in the highest glory. Through this exaltation, he became the Savior. Through his birth through Mary, he had the right to the throne through David. That's real important. So who's Jesus? He's fully God. That's who. You got a problem with that? Take it up with the man. When he came to earth, voluntarily, temporarily though, he gave up his infinity, omnipresence, etc. Humility of this sacrifice was just absolutely astounding. And the humbleness. He was fully God. Who else was Jesus Christ? He is fully man too. He took on every physical, emotional, human, mental trait that you can think of. But his body, mind, and will and emotions were not corrupted by sin. He wasn't born of Adam. The human DNA was not of Adam. It carried the sin. Having emptied himself of his divine rights, he worked his own miracles. He worked his miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit. Another part of the Trinity. Not by his power as the Son of God. So you have a subordination of the Trinity. I know, a little difficult to understand. I don't have a problem myself with not understanding it. I just know he says it. I try to make sense of it, and it ain't going to work. Because I don't, humankind does not have dimensional capacity to understand this. He worked his miracles by the power through the Holy Spirit. Not his power as the Son of God. There is a subordination. Even though they're all one, there's still a subordination in their roles. Matthew 12:28. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come upon you. See? Spirit of God's Holy Spirit, with a capital S, Matthew 12:28. He resisted Satan by the strength of the Spirit and the commitment of his human will. Do we not pray for being delivered from evil? When people say in prayers and radio programs and all that, and they do the prayer thing before I do that, but this is what I don't do. If I ever do it, I want you to text me or send me an email and say, Tom, straighten up, boy. And that is, if I'm praying, I say, I rebuke you, Satan. It's going to say, yeah, who are you? Even Michael the Archangel needed help. He said, the Lord rebuke you. Son of God, rebuke you. He didn't say, I, Michael, Archangel, rebuke you. He didn't do that. Even the angels, the archangels, couldn't even do that. I bind you, Satan. How many people would to bind Satan in every prayer on the radio programs, for goodness sakes? You ever hear that in some prayers and places? No, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. I can ask you to do it, but I won't be doing it. He suffered what we suffered, and then some. He used only the power that was available to us, so that he could understand and help us in our temptations. Did Moses open up the Red Sea himself? Look what I'm going to do, guys. No. God did through Moses. He wants to work through us. Because he is in us. Scripture tells us we have one high priest who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Definitely can see part three tomorrow. It's getting pretty involved here. At least for me it is. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Well, there you go. After his resurrection, Jesus didn't discard his humanity for all eternity. He bears in his glorified body the scars of crucifixion, the marks of a love so incredible, it must leave even the angels speechless. The names of Jesus is Christ, the Anointed One, descendant of David, Christus, in the Greek translation of the Hebrew word, Mashiach, Messiah. The Old Testament's Hebrew, translated to English, Masoretic text. First five books of the Bible, that's all the Torah, end. The New Testament was in Hebrew, was in Greek. So Yeshua in Hebrew, but it wasn't Yeshua, because the New Testament wasn't written yet. Mary might have called Jesus Yeshua when he was born, but it was written in Greek. That's the tricky part. Oh, they try to get you with that. See, the Messiah was the Torah of the Old Testament, fulfilled by Yeshua. But that's not what we call him. Because it's written in Greek, Isus. And then King James, a benevolent, God-fearing king, probably the only one in all of history of England, and Queen Victoria was the only queen that feared God in other history. Shouldn't be a surprise. God waited, like William Tyndale prayed. Open the eyes of the king, and that king had to be King James. That's the only King James, too, by the way, that was benevolent. And happened to be in English. And I don't think it was an irony or coincidence that English is the only universal language in history. How about that, huh? So that means when Mary named her son in Hebrew, it's probably Yeshua, when he was 5 years old or 1 year old, whatever. And then, when it was written about, during the days of Pentecost, it was written in Greek, Isus. Because it was written in Greek. And then was written, translated Hebrew, Old Testament, Greek, New Testament, into English, for the King James Bible, his name is Jesus. Because the I turns to J. It's real simple. Boy, that makes them mad when you simplify it like that. They don't like it. I simply bring out the old violin and start playing a tune. Because that's the way it happened. Now, granted, the days of the Gentiles will be over, but only when Jesus touches down, places his feet, not in some silly UFO, in Jerusalem, at the end of Armageddon. Family, there'll be a whole loss of life before that happens. Start the human race all over again with a few mortals. Can you imagine the 1,000 years? Will be to regenerate everything that's destroyed during the 7 years tribulation. Kind of like the ark in a way, except starting off with more than 8 people. Whew. Spirit's moving tonight. A lot of stuff going on. We'll all go back to one language. You ever think about that? And it won't be English. It'll be Hebrew. Because the time of the Gentiles will be over. Right now is the time of the Gentiles, and Jews and Israel don't like that. They want to get back what they lost, but it's not going to happen. That's why you have the sacred name movement, the Hebrew roots movement. That's why everybody today calls him Yeshua and get all mad and out of whack when you say, no, his name's Jesus, when they don't have a J in Hebrew. And all that. They're trying to go back to Hebrew roots. No, the time of the Gentiles is over when Jesus takes the throne. Right now, his name is Jesus. But let me tell you the other side of that coin. Here's why they got the Hebrew roots movement. The real reason why. That's sneaky. It's because the one named Sananda Emmanuel, the fallen angel that we think it looks like Jesus Christ in the portraits. That's not Jesus Christ, by the way. The one we see with black velvet and we see in portraits and churches, the long-haired, blonde or dark brown, blue-eyed Jesus, that ain't Jesus. That's Sananda Emmanuel, a fallen angel. Raziel, that we think is Jesus, is not Jesus. Jesus got short hair and holes in his hand. This one don't. He's coming. Look it up now if you want to. He's naming himself Sananda Emmanuel. Sananda. And they're labeling Yeshua. Anything they can to get away from the name of Jesus. Yahuwah, Yeshua, Miyasach, whatever, I don't know what, and other kinds of ways you can't even pronounce. To get you away from the name of Jesus. Get you away from the King James Bible. Because when he appears as a false prophet. Aha. I am Yeshua. I'm an ET, extraterrestrial. I'm an ascended master. There's no tribulations. Everybody's forgiven. You don't have to worry about sin anymore. Do as thou wilt is the whole of the law. Say what? I don't think so. Now you see why their judgment is going to come when they start that. Well, the name is Yeshua. That's why they're trying to get everybody to say Yeshua across the board. That's the reason. So we're all used to saying Yeshua, because that's his Hebrew name. What they're going to spring on him is disclosure, and the falling away will be introduction of the false prophet, Sananda slash Yeshua. Jeshua, J-E-S-H-U-A, Y-E-S-H-U-A. I have that name documented in a New Age Illuminati textbook I got, Signs of Christ. I found it. I said, oh, that's hotter than a firecracker. I said, there's the reason why. Yeshua, Jeshua, son of Nun. Oh, they are sneaky. When you start connecting the dots, you see it all come out. The setup of why the sacred name movement, why the Hebrew roots movement, why the push to name Jesus, not Jesus, but Yeshua, is to prepare the world for the false prophet who is Yeshua, Sananda, extraterrestrial. Will be the claim. And they're going to find some documents or books or whatever somewhere in the deep in the Vatican library. It's coming. They've already started finding a few. It's going to be a revelation to mankind. The Vatican's been holding this secret for all this time. They're going to reveal it to the public. Oh, please give me a break. I'd rather read a Superman comic book. Which brings another point too, by the way. But in any case, as Rosicrucians thought to be Superman. That goes back thousands of years. You thought it was 1938? Nope. Superman idea goes back to the ancient mystery schools of religion, man to become as a god. That's the whole concept of the Superman comic book series. That was the purpose of it. That was the purpose. Because the author of the first Superman comic book in 1938, before Hitler, really took, there's a lot to this. Oh, it's really deep. The legend of superheroes, the, you know, Elastic Man and the Flash and all that stuff going on, Marvel Comics, the story about that is setting you up for externalization of the hierarchy, where the fallen angels are going to appear as immortals among men. That's what you're being prepared for. And watch this. What's really going to happen is the tribulations will destroy, just like it did the flood. Tribulations will destroy the Antichrist notion of a new world order. But the mid-tribulation, abomination of desolation, you recall where it says that when the Antichrist hits the holy place, declares himself to be God, the abomination of desolation, man, don't even go inside the house, leave and head to the hills. Well, now that's mid-tribulation, family. Three-quarters of the world's population will be wiped out by then in the world. You'll have a decimation of population. So that means head for the hills. He's talking mortals that's living then, that hadn't died yet, hadn't been taken up in a rapture, or those not died and went to heaven, or died and went to heaven, for those mortals to head for the hills for special protection during the next time of God's judgment on the earth for the seven trumpets. They're protected, but they're mortal. And somewhere along the way here, in the raptured period, whenever it is, those that went through the fire, went through life as it is, or died because of being a martyr, whatever, or in heaven, they will go through the judgment seat of Christ to be rewarded for what they did in their life. While the tribulation is still going on. Huh? At the end of the seven trumpets, the protected ones are in the hills for the 3.5 years of God's judgment on this earth. Who's he going to judge? The Nephilim, the Metropolitans, the giants that's going to be released. That's why you have the 100-pound hailstones coming down in the seventh vial of the seventh trumpet. You wonder why such big hailstones? Now you know why. Because it's not against man, because man's already pretty much destroyed. It's against the Metropolitans, the Nephilim, as in the days of Noah, that will come out of the caverns and caves and places. Once again, God will destroy the offspring of the fallen angels. He did in the flood, he'll do it in the tribulation. And after it's over, it's called Armageddon. And Jesus will come with 10,000s of his saints. That's the ones rewarded in heaven during the judgment seat of Christ. And they'll rule, and they will be supernatural over the mortals to replenish the mortal population. For the 1,000 years that God's return to the Mount of Olives, the wicked shall be removed. Psalms 34:21, and the evil shall slay the wicked. That will then take place at Armageddon. The word of the Lord comes upon us at times we don't expect it. So now you've got the return of the saints, immortals, that's lived through the fire of the tribulation in life before, been through the temptations of Satan and the seven Asheram rays and all that, survived and stuck to the last, have now returned with Jesus to rule with him for 1,000 years, of which you'll be a core education, a core culture of Jesus setting the stage, not Satan. The fallen angels, they're gone. False prophet, Antichrist, they're on fire. Satan will be put in chains for the 1,000 years, will not be able to tempt the nations of mortals until the end of the 1,000 years. He's released. Now, why would God do that? Why would God, through all this, release him again upon us? Well, because you're going to have the immortals ruling with Jesus of the mortals that were born of that 1,000 years, have never been tempted, never went through anything of their testing of their free will, except through Jesus' core culture being developed for the 1,000 years. A reversal, total reversal. Will now be tempted by Satan for a season. And apparently some of them do it, because that becomes the battle of Gog and Magog after the 1,000 years. The final battle. It will also end in defeat. Final defeat. Satan will then be put in the lake of fire. Defeated again. And those that followed him will end up there also. At the end of the 1,000 years is a great white throne judgment. And the books will be opened. Those in the book of life, eternal reward. Those not in the book of life, eternal punishment. Those that's been in hell before, held in that period, will be pulled out of torment, judged for their eternity, and sent back to their eternal judgment, whatever it might be. And so those that pass through the fire, those that during that 1,000 years are mortals, stuck with God, will be made immortal. So now everybody's immortal. By free will, they made their choice. There's a lot yet to happen. Finally, what they're trying to do now, like Carl Gallup and P.P. Simmons and Irvin Baxter and all the rest of them, are trying to get you to believe that the next war that they're trying to manufacture is Armageddon. And what comes after Armageddon? Jesus does. But it won't be Jesus. It won't be Armageddon. It'll be Sananda Emmanuel. And that will be the first seal. Many will think it's the last one. You see what they've done? What they're trying to do? Is make Sananda look like Jesus. For doing that, they have to have a war before. They got to manufacture it. That's what's going on now. Even the very elect would be deceived if that were possible. That's how that all fits together. I'm glad this is recorded, because I'll never be able to repeat that ever. No way possible. All this is tied. I don't have none of this written down. So, if I'm wrong, somebody advise me. Tell me. But that's the way I see it. I wasn't even going to talk about that tonight. Jesus is God, incarnated human flesh. He's the one going to sit on the throne. Because he is God. We'll talk a little bit more tomorrow about the Holy Spirit, about Jesus as God. I'll give you a whole lot more scripture. And you can put in your magazine clip. Where'd God come from? We're going to talk about what's the Trinity. And do we worship three gods? Which, of course, you know we don't. And more commentary. Okay. Woo. What a day. Let me tell you what. Let y'all know, My broadcast and my Bible studies are played up at highportradio.net also. Highportradio.net. Also, let people know, shoutcast.com. When you download it, shoutcast.com, you can also hear me. 24-hour loop. Also, my website, Watchman for Jesus. John Kirkler, H-E-Herkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, highpointradio.net, building up his network in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. And he's doing a good job at it, I understand, and is really working. And I thank you for your donations or cooperation or working with your sponsors, whatever you've done. Very appreciative because it's made a difference. I don't know who did what or whatever, but I'm getting report from him that, man, it's working. And it is different than it was about 6 months ago. Something's working. It's really going well. And thank you all. You'll find the sponsors on highpointradio.net and use those sponsors in New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania for any of their services. Or just drop them a line or two or something and or donation or whatever you feel the Lord leads you. As for me, he plays my broadcast and plays my Bible studies. That's it. And for that, I'm appreciative. My website is watchmanforjesus.com. My Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. And family, there you go. We'll close in prayer. I know tomorrow, 4 to 6, we're going to hit the ground running again. Techniques of the Illuminati in detail. Twick it all the way through the week. Lord, thank you tonight for Bible study. Thank you, Lord, for leading us in this way and the insights you've given us and you give me. Lord, we thank you. I do thank you. Lord, you use me mightily. The Father, to convict me if I fall away. Father, forgive me of my sins and I lay them before you. Lord, give me patience. Lord, listen to prayers. Father, we call upon you to listen to all the prayers now. Each one has a prayer in their heart. Only you can know them. We pray, Father, for the wisdom discernment to guide us through these coming days. That you use us in your service. And guide us with your Bible studies. And your holy word. These things I pray. In the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Family, thank you all for coming by. And I appreciate it. I just share my Bible studies, kind of what I've ended up doing. I don't know if I told you all a story about that. I think I did. That one day I was going to say, well, you know, Tom, you need to study the Bible more. Okay, I'll do it. I'm talking to myself, and I started to do it, and I opened the books up, getting ready to start studying. About a year ago, 2 years, I've lost track, I don't remember. Anyway, I said, wait a minute, I stopped. I said, hold on a second, I got a network. I said, why don't I just invite people to attend my Bible study, you know. And I'll just have another broadcast, and that way, I said, okay. So I held off, and it began. So it ended up really being a 3-hour broadcast per day. 2 hours, what Satan's up to and how to defeat him. And then 1 hour, all God. So I got a 3-hour broadcast. I had 3 hours anyway. So it just kind of worked out. I get a break in between. Whoopie-doo. So, you know, I don't know. Amazing how things work out. And how I acquired this network, that's another story. You know, in entirety. Oh, anyway. Y'all have a good night, and God bless, and thank y'all for coming by. This is your Watchman. I'm signing off tonight. I'll see y'all tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Good night. God bless. Signing off. He's alive. He's alive.
you every day till the end.